Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Once again, it is great to be with you. Today, I'm broadcasting live via my website, and that is TaylorMade101.com. When you go out there, just click on the live broadcast, and you'll be able to see me do the show live in concert, in fact. So before we get started, though, I want to do two things. First, I'm going to introduce my co-host for today's show, and I also want to talk a little bit about the show that's coming up here in weeks. My co-host for the show today is going to be Jima Hill Cook. Now, Jima is my darling wife. She's the director of training at TaylorMade, training and consultant, as well as an author of the famous Ask Jima blog. If you haven't been out there, you should take time to do so. That address is askjima.blogspot.com. Now, secondly, I want to talk a little bit about our feature show coming up on Sunday. Now, December 5th, 2010, Central Time, the show will be a special one-hour show. I will be talking about male abuse. And if you didn't know, Male Abuse Awareness Week is December the 1st through this December the 8th. It is a campaign to bring attention to problems society faces when male victims and survivors of all types of abuse are not given the help they need to recover and deal with what has happened to them. The rate of suicide, violent crime, and abuse cycles would be decreased if more organizations provide services to them. And we'll all bring this taboo subject to a socially acceptable level we have already done for females. Now, it's interesting is that I've been talking to Petra Luna, who is really driving this event, and she's going to be my host during that time. But you know it's a significant issue when you have Oprah cover male abuse issues. In fact, on November the 5th in 2010, this week, Oprah and her landmark show covered this in a way that only she can. 200 men courageously stood together to talk about their abuse. And so on December the 5th, we're going to talk a little bit about it here. And I will be joined by my special guest and recording artist, Petra Luna. Now, Petra Luna is the artist who can make you laugh as well as make you cry. She write, reflect, but most of all, she will make you think. As a performer, she commands her audience effortlessly, and the scope of her talent is seemingly endless. This is intoxicating. She sings in 7 languages. As an amazing dancer, she can perform any musical style, refusing to limit her creativity. So for more information on her help for males, please go to helpforguys.org. Again, I will be airing that show live on December 5th, 2010 at 4 o'clock p.m. And again, for more information about that, it's called helpforguys.org. As always, to join the conversation, contact 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening on or visiting the website, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter at TaylorMade101. Now, today I am doing a live broadcast over the web. And if you go to TaylorMade101.com, you'll be able to see this broadcast live in concert. Now, let's by my co-host, Jima. Jima, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, so tell our listening audience a little bit about that.
Well, as you stated, my name is Jima, and I am the director of training for TaylorMade Training and Consulting. And the part that I am most involved in has to do with the leadership development training that TaylorMade puts on, and it's a training that helps us get back to the basics of why it is important to train and develop people From a business standpoint, it speaks to the bottom line. From a personal standpoint, what you learn in training, those skills are transferable, and so they go with you. They become a part of who you are. And so it just makes you a better leader, a better person, a better manager, just all the way around, because now you've learned some skills on how to work with people, how to talk to people, and how people learn at different levels. So I'm truly excited about this part of my career that I'm in right now.
Okay, cool. So each week I do a it's great to have you here, because each week I do a segment called Moment of Reflection. And it would be nice to get some of your feedback on some of the issues. Again, to join the conversation, contact us at 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. Now, when it comes to this moment of reflections, I've been covering a lot of different topics. And this week, moment of reflections, I'm going to take a look back at this New York Times article. Adam Liptak. Now, Adam Liptak said that the judges 5-4 reject corporate spending limits. Now, recall that it said this: overruling two important precedents about First Amendment rights of corporations. A bitterly divided Supreme Court on Thursday ruled that the government may not ban political spendings by corporations. The 5-4 decision was a vindication, the majority said, of the First Amendment's most basic free speech principle, that the government has no business regulating political free speech. Now, the dissenter said that allowing corporate money to the marketplace would corrupt democracy. I bring this up because of what happened this week to Keith Olbermann. MSNBC has suspended Keith Olbermann following the news that he had donated to three Democratic candidates this election cycle. This came on the heels of a Politico report on Friday that Olbermann had donated $2,400 each to Raul Grijalva and Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona and to Kentucky Senate contender Jack Conway. Now, while NBC News policy does not prohibit employees from donating to political candidates, it requires them to obtain prior approval from NBC News executives for doing so. MSNBC President Phil Griffin said in a statement, "I became aware of Keith's political contributions late last night. Mindful of NBC News policy and standards, I have suspended him indefinitely without pay." In a statement early Friday, Olbermann defended his donation, saying, "I did not privately or publicly encourage anyone else to donate to any of these candidates, nor any others in this election or any previous one. Nor have I previously aided to any political campaign." So my question is simply this: was this firing, or suspension, I should say, justifiable? I find it odd for individuals not to be able to exercise their right to support a candidate. So what do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I think it's twofold. On the one hand, knowing the policy and procedures, MSNBC, if it's a violation of their policy that he cannot, or any other employee cannot, donate to a political candidate, then it's a violation of policy, bottom line. And we all have policies and procedures at our jobs that we have to follow. Now, the question becomes, should it be such a policy or a procedure at MSNBC or any other news organization to limit a person from being able to exercise their free will and their free right, to support any political candidate that they so choose? So that becomes the real issue, not necessarily that if it is one that he violated, but why is it one? What makes that even make sense to even have such a policy like that anyway?
Okay. I just find it odd that, you know, after this landmark legislation passed by the Supreme Court, just that we would be even considering spending, if you will, and I put that in quotation marks, people for making political contributions, when in fact we encourage people to participate in the political process. Now, had he went out and maybe, you know, try to, you know, put some spin on these candidates or went out and advocate for these candidates as a journalist, then, you know, I could see that. But, you know, he's opinionated. And we have no problem at these other news stations, the way they endorse candidates or try to denigrate these other candidates. I really, really odd.
Well, the issue there is that it may not be a violation of their policy to do so. And actually, the policy, you know, was really around getting permission, basically. And it appears as though, based on reports, that he failed to get it approved to be able to do it. And then I think the other part of it that led to some concerns from some people was that a couple of these candidates did appear on his show. And so it gave the perception of impropriety, whether it was there real or not.
Interesting. Today I'm joined with co-host Jima, the director of training for TaylorMade Training and Consulting. Jima is also the author of the famous Ask Jima blog. So the conversation, text us at 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. For those that you are listening via the Talk Radio site, leave your comment or click the follow button. Or follow me on Twitter, TaylorMade101.com. Time updates. And today, I'm also out on my website, broadcasting live at TaylorMade101.com. Broadcasting live, video streaming, via Ustream, and it's TaylorMade101.com. There are some other things in the news I would like to get your opinion on too, Jima. This is, again, it's a little bit about politics. And so, you know, this week the GOP took back the House, if you will. I want to know, what's your opinion about what does for the president and the Democratic Party?
Well, I think the elections happened the way most people predicted them. Unfortunately, I think the message that the Democrats failed to deliver is one that I've spoken about before, and that is they failed to inform the people of all the things that they had done that was going to be a benefit to each person. I think the message gets lost in who's delivering it, and it's not clear enough that people understand what types of legislation have been passed and signed by the president that are in effect currently and how many people will be impacted by them. So they failed to get the message out. They did not ring the bell loud enough. And this goes back to the healthcare debate last summer, when all of that was going on. There was not enough people out saying the right things to dispute all the misinformation that was out there. So what it means in the long run is that you have two bodies of government that have to figure out a way to work together for the good of the people, not for the good of their pockets. There's been a lot of money spent on this election cycle, more than any in the history. You have some new people that really, in my opinion, don't really understand how government works. And they'll be in for a rude awakening when they get to the Hill come January. And I don't think they understand that it's not going to be as simple as they thought, that the stick that they think they carry isn't going to hit like they think it's going to hit. So it's going to be interesting. And the more involved we are, then the better informed we should become. And then we can make some better decisions the next election cycle.
You know, when President Senator Obama was running, you know, we had a lot of it was a lot of people going out to the vote, participating in the political process. People predicted that was not going to be the case. And it seems to me that that prediction came true. You know, people were very excited about the general election with respect to the presidential election. But when it came to the midterm elections, you didn't have that same fire. You didn't see the same enthusiasm in the Democratic Party. But you did see that enthusiasm in the Tea Party. So
But here's the thing, though. First of all, the Tea Party is nothing more than the Republican Party, because there was not a ballot in the country where the person listed where it said Tea Party. So it is the Republican Party. Let's make sure people understand that. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, I think because the message just wasn't clear as to what the stakes were. They were convoluted with all of this nonsense. And yet, when you got down to what the facts were, people – and here's the sad part about it. The unfortunate part about it is that those people that went out and wanted to vote in order to take their country back and slow down the spending of government will be in for a rude awakening, because a lot of things that those members of the Republican Party / Tea Party – want to cut are the very things that's sustaining a lot of people. So, you know, it won't be President Obama's health care bill that's going to kill grandma. It's going to be when they decide to cut off grandma's Medicare. That's what's going to take grandma on up out of here. So, you know, there's a lesson to be learned, and I think the lesson to be learned is that the race isn't given to the swift, and that you have to continue to fight, and that it's not going to be over in one election cycle. The president can't do anything by himself, and those of us on the ground have to remain on the ground and remember our position.
Yeah, I agree. Today I'm joined by with co-host Jima. She's the director of training for TaylorMade Training and Consulting. Jima is also the author of the famous blog Ask Jima. And that you can go to that blog at askjima.blogspot.com. So join the conversation. Contact us at 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. And today I'm broadcasting live via the web. Go to TaylorMade101.com. Now, other things that are in the news this week was now, in fact, last week I talked about LeBron James, about the video he put out. I mean, now I say video, it's really a commercial put together as a video, if you will. But it was pretty interesting. And, you know, I tried to stimulate a little dialogue about it. I did a post on Facebook. I talked about it on last week's show. It turns out this week, the city of Cleveland did a response. You know, I call it the Cleveland response, if you will. And they were kind of, you know, jabbing back at LeBron about him leaving, about him, his approach. And so I did another post on Facebook yesterday, and I was able to stimulate a little conversation about it. And my take on the situation is that it just seems like it's very odd. It seems to be very strange when a player goes out and tries to find a player that he wants to be with in order to obtain a championship, as opposed to a coach or an owner going out looking across the spectrum to finding players so they can team up with, so they can get a championship. What's your take on that?
I agree with that. And I think this whole thing with LeBron from the beginning was completely overblown. I don't necessarily know if he should have had the quote-unquote press conference or not. That's really irrelevant. You know, the fact that he donated whatever ESPN gave him to the local Boys and Girls Clubs, I think that's great. And that got lost in the shuffle as well, you know, that he didn't really make any money off of it. But I agree with you in the respect that coaches and owners can do whatever they have to do to get all the players on their teams that they want, because let's be real about it. If Miami's organization didn't want to pay LeBron, that's not where LeBron would be, regardless of whether or not that's where he wanted to go.
Right.
There's a monetary fact, so the money had to be available for them to pay him that. So the owners for the Miami Heat and the coaching staff for the Miami Heat and all those involved in that decision, they got some culpability in that as well. But we don't know them like we, and I'm using quotes here, like we know LeBron. So we want to fault LeBron for the fallout in Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland didn't do what it said it was going to do. And that's the nature of the business. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Absolutely. And continue on talking about sports. Randy Moss. I can't believe, first of all, that he was traded by New England. And then this week, he was waived by Minnesota. There's an article in ESPN that says the Vikings have decided to end Randy Moss' brief second stint in Minnesota just weeks after they traded him for a third-round draft pick to New England Patriots for the all-pro receiver. This decision was made based on what we thought was in the best interest of Minnesota Vikings, both in the short term and the long term. I don't understand what's going on while they would, you know, just move him like that. It just seems to me that it's strange for, you know, you to give up a third-round draft pick for this star player, and then weeks later he's gone.
Right. That one has baffled me the entire week. I'm not real sure what the coach up there in Minnesota Childress was thinking about. I'm not sure if there was some other underlying motive about it, if some other, you know, some other deal was made with New England to get him out of there. I mean, you just never know. I mean, but, you know, when you sit around and you think about it, well, that just didn't make sense. On no level does that make sense due to the type and caliber of a player that Randy Moss is. Yes, he comes with some baggage, but you knew that already. You know, they knew that already. It wasn't as though that the world didn't know Randy Moss, you know, comes with some baggage. He had been there before. So it wasn't as though they were blinded. Oh, we didn't know this, you know, he was going to do like that. So I'm not real sure what that was all about. Doesn't quite pass the smell test.
All right, we're going to go to our phone lines right now. We have a caller, area code 214. Area code 214. Caller, you're on with Current Events with Patrick Cook. What are your comments?
How are you doing, Patrick Cook? How are you doing, Ms. Cook?
Absolutely wonderful.
I just want to comment on the Republicans winning back the House. I think this will do some good for our president, as it did during President Clinton administration. I think he will begin to pass more bills because now the Republicans think they can have some voice in this, that they have some form of leadership that they can express. But my doubts in this is that the Tea Party movement, which has a totally different agenda than the Republican Party, I do see some discord getting ready to happen between those two.
That's an interesting comment. I mean, the fact that the Republican Party and the Tea Party, you know, they may end up, splitting the party, if you will, right down the middle. People talked about, or they touted the fact that a lot of the Tea Party, and I put that in quotes, if you will, candidates, won this election. So, Jim, what are your comments?
Well, I think also, though, if you look back to when the whole thing was going on with the debate, it was those, and this is a term that I hadn't heard in a long time, it was those blue dog Democrats that was causing the most dissension in terms of getting that passed. So, and I think had it not been for the effective leadership of the president of the Democratic Party, we probably not gotten as far as we did and even passing it. So the strife comes on both sides of the aisle. I think with this Tea Party and the Republicans, I agree with the caller. There's going to be some major jockeying for position and power because those people that came in on the Tea Party bandwagon feel as though, you know, they're one up on the Republicans. But I still go back to the fact that you don't have a Tea Party party. You have a Tea Party group of people that I guess is a movement, but they all still fall on the Republican Party. So it's really going to be on the heels and the head of that leadership in Congress, as well as with Michael Steele of the Republican National Committee to try to galvanize and bring them under some sort of one umbrella.
Okay.
I totally agree.
All right, Colin, thank you for your – go ahead.
Do you see the Tea Party eventually starting their own party? Because I see Sarah Palin eventually running as a Tea Partier instead of on the Republican ticket.
Well, that would be quite interesting. That would be quite interesting for that to happen. Is anything possible? You know, we live in America, so anything is possible. I'm not sure how well that would carry over in the long run, but it might look good for right now because of how people talk, but I'm not sure if it has any longevity.
I see it splitting the party, though. I continue to use that language because just like when you have an independent running, and you know, and sometimes most people lean that are Democratic lean towards independent and vice versa. When you have an independent running, he takes away from the Democratic Party. So if you have quote unquote this Tea Party, or if they was to try to put themselves on the ballot, it seems to me that what will happen is they will split the Republican ticket, which is ultimately would be in favor of the Democratic Party. So. I'm all for it. I mean, Tea Partiers, go ahead and do their thing.
I totally agree with you, Mr. Hook, because either way, it could work for the Democrat. If she runs as a Tea Partier, then it would split the votes, of course. But if she runs as a Republican, this is what us Democrats want. We want Sarah Palin to run for president and get the ticket because we feel like if she runs against President Obama, she can't stand. So. It's interesting to see how this is going to play out for 2012.
Absolutely. All right, caller, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Other news we have, I want to talk a little bit, turn the page a little bit to entertainment. Tyler Perry had a movie to come out called Four Colored Girls. It opened this weekend. What did you think about it?
I thought it was an excellent movie, and I can't say anything about it because you really have to see it for yourself, but it was very powerful. I remembered it, the storyline from a long time ago when I was in high school and college in terms of reading the book for colored girls who considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. It is a powerful, what they call choral poem. It has been on Broadway and several theaters around the country. So it has already a huge following because of its longevity. But the movie, I have to say, he did it well. He did it justice. And the actresses and actors that played in that movie, I see so many potential nods for Oscar and Golden Globe Awards. And just it was just awesome. I can't say it enough. It was awesome.
Wow. Today I'm joined with a special co-host, Jima. She is the director of training for TaylorMade Training and Consulting. She is also the author of the famous Ask Jima blog. It's at askjima.blogspot.com. So, Jima, we have a few more minutes here. You want to talk a little bit about your blog?
Sure. My blog, as it says, is Ask Jima, and I tend to speak to issues concerning women. And how to empower us as women, how for us as women to make decisions about who we are, about how we make decisions that impact our lives. This week's conversation was about friendship and seasons and how to every season there is an end, and to everything there's a purpose. And so when do you know that relationship that you're in is no longer beneficial to you, or that you've outgrown that relationship? What makes it so? And so just thinking back on years of friendships and whether or not you're still connected with those people and whether or not your expectations are too high. So just talking to us as women and getting us to feel a little bit more empowered about our situations and our circumstances.
Outstanding. I want to thank all our listeners, all the ones that logged into TaylorMade101.com that watched the recording live. I would like to thank my very special guest, Jima Hill Cook, the director of TaylorMade Training and Consulting, and also the author of AskJima.blogspot.com. Please join us next week as we take a look at the current events with Patrick Cook. I am your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. Don't forget to bookmark this site. Until next time, remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook.